B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And there's no question that there have been a series of circumstances now involving Antonio Brown that certainly rise to the level of being disturbing.
You know, Antonio Brown's actions, I mean, right now clearly indicate that intervention is needed right here. He has surrounded himself with a bunch of enablers. And if they really care about him, they should tell him he needs help. His actions scream for help. You know, tell him what he needs to hear, not what he wants to hear. He doesn't need a football field. He needs counseling.
That's Bill Cowher on Antonio Brown. Now we all go back to what we were all saying for the last couple months up until he became a Patriot. You all can go back to what everyone's been saying. This guy is a screw loose. He needs help. He needs intervention. He needs counseling. This is a man in public crisis who has a problem. And so now we can all go back to that as opposed to what it was his 11 days as a Patriot. Chris Gasper wrote over the weekend that the Patriots releasing Antonio Brown allowed Patriots to root for their team with a clear conscience. You know, you can root for the team without guilt now. And I think that is not exactly true. It saves you the embarrassment. It saves the embarrassment that Patriots fans had become with Antonio Brown here, because that was a freaking and embarrassing 11 days for you folks. The pretzel twisting and the change of heart based on laundry. It was kind of embarrassing. And it saves the team the embarrassment of him doing something really bad, which is, if it hasn't already happened, is coming. Unless he does get the help and the counseling that he needs. Unless he has a big wake-up call, which I'm not sure he's capable of. So forget your clear conscience. Forget you rooting for the team without guilt. It saves you the embarrassment of what those 2 weeks here with Antonio Brown in New England. I'm sorry, Maz, I went first. It leads to your Rodenheiser take.
Oh, yeah. No worries. Hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Heating specials now available, so go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. The part of the story, and I know you're going to get to the specific tweets that that he put out before the game yesterday, and I shouldn't say it blows me away, but the audacity of this guy to go through what he's gone through, get released, after going and texting a woman and essentially threatening her in the middle of last week for going public with her story to Sports Illustrated. And then the Patriots release him. He goes back on Twitter yesterday and starts attacking Robert Kraft and Ben Roethlisberger. It's like, now look, have a blast with Roethlisberger, have a blast with Kraft if you want. But and I mean that as to listeners. But does this guy ever take any accountability for his own actions, ever?
No.
It's always someone else's fault. It's never him. It's always someone else's fault. Cowher couldn't be more right about this guy. He's got a serious problem. Like, he needs help.
What's your Antonio Brown takeaway this weekend, Murray?
Oh, the same that it's been for the last couple of weeks that I said the day he got cut by the Raiders. He's impulsive, self-sabotaging. He's a complete a-hole. And there's still people that want to defend him. Maybe it's CTE, and you're going to be all wrong, and you're going to be feeling ashamed when you find out that he's got a serious problem. Can't we just say that certain people in this world still, in life, just are a-holes? Just are self-sabotaging, selfish a-holes. Is it okay to say that, or it's 2019, and I know everything's going to be all sensitive now? He's just a complete a-hole. Period, end of story. I'm glad he's gone. Oh, and it feels so good to be right about it, too. I told you. This was the hill you wanted to die on with this guy. Ugh. Shame on you. You knew that this was going to all be a matter of time. By the way, do you hear the latest? He's been ordered to court in Miami tomorrow. He's been ordered to appear in a Miami court tomorrow for a deposition regarding an apartment he allegedly trashed. So this would have happened. You still want him here when this would have been hanging over his head?
He would have had to fly to Miami today.
Yeah.
To give a deposition.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so it would have been something else, and you still wanted him here? Or you're concerned because Edelman got banged up and Gordon also got banged up yesterday? Ooh, look at the depth of wide receiver. You still don't want AB here? No, he should have never been here in the first place.
This guy needs help.
So here's Antonio Brown, his tweet storm over the weekend, just a sampling. I will not be playing in the NFL anymore. These owners can cancel deals, do whatever they want at any time. We will see if the NFLPA holds them accountable. Sad they can just void guarantees anytime. Going on $40 million 2 months. We'll see if they pay up. That's the $30 million guaranteed it was due from the Raiders and the $10 million guaranteed from the Patriots. How do you get $40 million guaranteed and not receive a dime from it? One, it's the NFL, where the contracts, even guaranteed contracts, are complete crap. Thus, the salary cap is crap. Don't you get it? The contracts aren't worth the paper they're written on. Then why is the cap worth the paper it's written on? It's the same principle. But he had $40 million guarantees. I can get a dime. Then he kept going. This one was a good one. Kraft got caught in the parlor. AB speculations fired. Different strokes, different folks, clearly. Does he have a case there? Does he have a point?
Well, no. Well, okay, maybe in the greater picture, but in his specific case, no. Because you lost your job with the Patriots, not because of that. That was starting to blow over. What he's referencing, and he even put the Instagram photo of him high-fiving the trainer who has the civil lawsuit against him, that was starting to blow over, you dummy. You then got on the text chain with your buddies, and you wanted to look into the girl who made these other accusations in that Sports Illustrated story from early last week, and she wasn't looking for money. She just wanted to be left alone. She didn't want to be harassed by you. So, you moron.
It's so true.
That's why you got cut.
The speculations, you still had a job.
Mm-hmm.
You still had a paycheck. In fact, you dink, if you had just laid off your phone and made it to today, you would have had $5 million in the bank. All you had to do was put the phone down, you child, and he couldn't do it. So it wasn't about the speculations. It wasn't Robert survived the Orchids, and it looked like AB was going to survive for the season anyway. As far as this contract went, he was going to survive the civil lawsuit. And all he had to do was put the phone down.
And that's the one specific tweet that really speaks to, I think, what Maz was saying. Like, it's always everybody else's fault. It's never me.
Well, then he tweeted about Ben Roethlisberger. 4 games for Big Ben crazy. World, I'm done with it. Or crazy world, I'm done with it.
Right.
So there was that one.
Yeah, this league's not for me. You know, it doesn't work good because the league doesn't want you either. It's never him.
Okay, according to various sources, again, he was due $9 million in a signing bonus. 5 was due today. 4 was due on January 15th. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter and others, the Patriots are planning to withhold the signing bonus based on a representation warranty clause that calls for a player to disclose any situations that might prevent continued availability. A source with knowledge of the situation told ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. So they did not pay the money. It's due today. They're going to withhold it. The union's going to go after it. Brown called on the NFLPA to hold teams accountable and get him the money he apparently is still seeking. Chris Mortensen reported that Brown will file a grievance against the Patriots and the NFLPA will represent him in it. After Brown's tirade, a source told Schefter that Kraft is never writing that check no matter what the ruling is now. So if Antonio Brown ever wanted the check when he brought up Robert Kraft in the parlor, that means he's not going to get it. And I'll just stop there and say, what did you think Kraft was going to give it to him anyway? Would you stop with this? Like, Robert was going to give him the $5 million, but then he brought up Orchids of Asia, and then Robert said, okay, I'm not. Get a clue, dude. The Patriots were not going to give him that money.
Oh, yeah. No. They again, I think there's a reason there was a timeline on the whole thing, too.
It's the whole reason they structured it that way in the first place.
Absolutely. No question about it.
Okay, so the question is, are they going to be forced to pay? You'll hear the sound here coming up. Schefter and people around the league believe the Pats are going to be forced to pay.
So I told you, to me, one of the pivotal things was playing him in that game in Miami. I don't know how those guys look at it. I never would have played him in that game down there if I were the Patriots.
He practiced him 2 full weeks. On Friday, this just past Friday, he had a full practice with the ones, like he was ready to go. So the guarantee is for him to get on the field, and he did. You played him. So does that hurt their case?
I mean, that's what I think. Distinguish. I think you can even get away a little bit, but distinguishing between practice and games, although you can just as easily get hurt in practice as anywhere else. But even so, I think the game's a big one. In my mind, it's a big one. You put him out there in a game.
So, for example, though, he's going to be entitled, if he hasn't been paid already, the second week game check. Now, he's got roster bonuses that he's not going to get, but he gets his game check for the week because he was on the practice field Tuesday or Monday, one of those rules. I forget what it is. But because he practiced that week, he gets that game check. So that, I think that's got to play into the signing bonus.
I would think so, too. I mean, to me, it's if you get the signing bonus and then you're on the field, like, that sort of cements it, right? Like, that's sort of the deal. The signing bonus is once I start playing, I get that money.
So this is a small thing. It doesn't really matter. It's just sort of interesting to see how it plays out. I don't think it's a really important story. I'm not worried about the $5 million in real money. I'm not worried about the $5 million in cap money, although some people are. Are you worried? So again,
I am.
Concerned, not concerned. Are you concerned about the Patriots cap situation, which is tight, 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 in part because now they've got a $5 million plus dead charge from Antonio Brown?
Yeah, I don't like the left tackle situation. You still have Trent Williams with the Washington Redskins sitting there not playing. This makes it more difficult for you to trade for him so you have that money so that he can be a member of this team. Now, you can work things and maybe work with players like Devin McCourty or Kyle Van Noy to restructure and free up that money, but it makes it more difficult. Whether it's him, Emmanuel Sanders sounds like he wants out of Denver, so if you have concerns still about the wide receiving core, you want to try to make a trade for him, good luck with your cap number the way it is now.
I'm not worried about the cap. They can figure it out.
Thank you.
I'm not. I mean, again, so if you got to go to McCourty and, you know, give him some advance money now and there's a little bit
Give me a cocktail napkin. I'll figure it out for you.
Whatever it is, I'm not worried about it. Now, look, I think I still want that left tackle. I mean, I'd go get him. And if they use this as an excuse, shame on them. But, like, you know, I don't think there are any real cap ramifications from it. I don't.
It's just an interesting thing that, you know, Patriots v. Antonio Brown for $5 million. Just something to watch. I don't think it's necessarily important. But just sort of an epitaph from this whole thing. It's still not over. But just in general, Patriots fans, never mind that it saves you whatever. You can root now with a clear conscience. Or it saves you the embarrassment that you had become these 2 weeks. It was kind of embarrassing. It really was. You dumping all over this guy for weeks and months and calling the Steelers idiots and the Raiders idiots and he needs help and he's a psycho case and da-da. And then he becomes a Patriot and oh boy.
Oh, the whataboutism was at its peak though at
Seriously.
The end of last week.
What about Robert Klemko and what he did and his criminal record? And I don't see the threats in those text messages. Oh, you morons.
It saved you the embarrassment and it saved the Patriots further embarrassment because once again, he was going to do something bad to hurt somebody if he hasn't done that already. And whether that was in the past or now, that was coming. The one last little piece of bullcrap just to clean up is this business that it was reached jointly between Belichick and Kraft. That's why Bill had him on the field practicing with the ones all day on Friday. That's why Bill Belichick was asked about it. I said, well, he's on the roster. You think Bill's the one that did this? And you think Bill and Robert reached this conclusion independently or, you know, jointly is what I mean to say. You know, they both came to it together.
It puts a tidy bow on it now, doesn't it?
Football wanted this guy. The football department wanted this guy. Tom Brady all in, 1,000,000% in, as Robert Kraft told us through Al Michaels on Sunday Night Football. Tom Brady was all in on this jerk. And Bill Belichick, all in. If it were up to those guys, he'd still be here today. Give me a break with this. The owner stepped in because it was too embarrassing to his brand.
I mean, that ultimately he realized, I'm not going to do this. I'm not, you know, we're taking too much of a beating. It's embarrassing.
That Klemko story, the threatening text to the gal came out overnight, and Bill practiced them all day, worked with the ones all day, took every rep with the ones, according to the broadcast crew and Zoe and everybody else. You think Bill was getting this guy off the field? You think Brady wanted this guy off the field? Please. This was the owner finally stepping in and making another decision. Whether it's the right one or the wrong one, I mean, it's clearly the right one as far as I'm concerned. But what do you think? All right, so there's the Antonio Brown weekend. Your thoughts on everything to you right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Mel. Nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And there's no question that there have been a series of circumstances now involving Antonio Brown that certainly rise to the level of being disturbing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Oh, Antonio Brown's on fire on Twitter. He tweeted that, and then he's taking shots at Robert Kraft, the Patriots owners, and his former Steelers quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. So, yeah, you're going to have to follow AB84 on Twitter. But let's go to the essence of what he said there, which was basically, I'm not going to play football anymore because he's upset because the owners won't pay their guarantees, and we'll see if the union holds them accountable. Well, when he signed with the Patriots, he got $10 million in guaranteed money, $9 million in the form of a signing bonus. But the first payment of that signing bonus, $5 million, wasn't scheduled to be made until Monday. He got fired on Friday for misconduct. And so, therefore, the union will represent him in a grievance when it's filed. The problem that AB seems to be pointing out is that it's only a football union problem. No, if you have misconduct in Major League Baseball, NBA, National Hockey League, this type of misconduct, your guaranteed money is in trouble. So we'll see what happens going forward, but a grievance is expected.
And it creates an interesting situation because when you speak to teams around the league, they believe that the Patriots are going to be liable. But as somebody said this morning, with Antonio Brown firing off the latest round of tweets and including Robert Kraft in them, you could rest be assured that the Patriots will not write a check to Antonio Brown, no matter how long it takes.
Yeah, so as a side benefit for the Patriots, they get to lawyer up again and have a nice legal fight. Enjoy that.
Tell you what, on some level, though, if I'm them, let's say they lose the grievance, I wouldn't write him the check. Just because that's what he does to everybody else.
Yeah, all right. No, I mean, if anyone deserves to get stiffed, it's this guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of my point, is that this guy goes around and never pays anybody the money that he agrees to pay them. Talk about the shoe being on the other foot. So, like, now listen, at the end of the day, everybody should pay everybody. But on some level, don't you look at it and say, you know,
justice.
What? Justice. Yeah. Hold on to the check.
Poetic justice. You send him a letter, and all that is enclosed is not a check, but just a note that says, how's it feel?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be a deadbeat to everybody else. How does it, you know, exactly. How does it feel? How do you like it when someone doesn't pay you, you donkey?
Okay. So your Antonio Brown thoughts, along with all of our game thoughts. Jimmy in New Hampshire on the story. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. So I guess you kind of stole my thunder there. But so you mean to tell me the guy that didn't pay a physical therapist to help him out, the guy that didn't pay the charity for the painting he purchased, is now upset that he's not getting his money. I find that to be the ultimate form of irony.
Goes around, comes around.
Absolutely.
Perfect example. We've got Paul in New Hampshire. What are your thoughts, Paul?
Yeah, I just wanted to know when we're going to stop talking about Antonio Brown.
I don't know, Paul. What do you want to talk about?
Well, football.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, you know, what are the Pats going to do about Julian Edelman? How are they going to, you know, fix that problem? Because I saw a problem Sunday that I don't think they actually played that well.
So it's hard to tell, isn't it? When the competition's that bad and you go up by 20-something points and you're coasting the rest of the way, it's hard to know just how bad they played.
And I do think, I think the competition is a problem. And when I say is, because I think you could lapse into bad habits. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, you're coasting after a quarter and a half because there's no threat. And even with the, you know, even with the lead, like, the Jets were, they just were no threat to score.
No threat. So it's, like, hard for me to... Again, I saw what you saw. They didn't play great offensively after the first three or four drives. But how do you know?
When you have Luke Falk throw an interception on, what was that, third and one? When there isn't a wide receiver within 15 yards of Devin McCourty and it goes right to Devin McCourty, do you really got to worry about the outcome of the game?
No, we don't. But on Edelman, this is what I want. Now, there was a report that Edelman's totally fine and should be good this week.
The latest from Ian Rappaport, a source tells him he'll be good, Edelman. Another indication that the injury isn't major, and he has not been ruled out for this week in Buffalo.
You know what part of me wants to see? I want to see Gunnar Olszewski in the slot and start getting him going, or Jacoby Myers in the slot, and because Edelman's not going to be here forever. You know me. I worry about the future more than the present. And I want Brady to be forced to start working and looking at different players and broadening his circle of trust a little bit. Because that's starting to bug me a little bit.
This would be a good week to do it.
You know, for Brady to be so in on this a-hole, Antonio Brown, because what? He can't be bothered to work with young receivers or new receivers or bring other people into his circle of trust. That's starting to bug me. You know, you got perfectly good, hardworking, what feel like budding typical Patriots. Gunnar Olszewski, Jacoby Myers, low drafted, like you, Brady. The low drafted, hardworking guys that will take coaching and tell and, you know, go where you tell them to go. Work with them. Work with them. Quit sitting here stomping your feet for like superstar receivers. You don't need them in the first place. So, like half of me, more than half, put Gunnar Olszewski in the slot or Jacoby Myers is really ahead. I just keep saying Gunnar Olszewski. Put Jacoby Myers in the slot and let's go. You can't beat the Buffalo freaking Bills without Julian Edelman? Don't tell me that.
No, and again, this would be a good week to do it because you're going to get some resistance, I think. I mean, the Jets at home, Miami's so freaking bad. Like, you know, that at least you say, okay, on the road at Buffalo, they're 3-0. You'll get a little resistance there, I think. And the Bills' defense looks like it's pretty good. So you know what? That would be a pretty good test. I don't know if Buffalo's going to score, but that would be a good place to do it.
Tim in Holland on Josh Gordon. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I just think instead of giving up draft capital for Trent Williams from the Redskins, why not just offer them Josh Gordon? I feel like it'd be dumb enough to take the deal.
Tim, are you calling us from Holland?
Holland, Massachusetts.
Holland, Massachusetts. Okay, very good. Not quite the long distance.
The city, not the country.
I was going to get an accent there.
Boy, you got a good phone.
Yeah, no, excellent landline from Holland.
Gordon for Trent Williams? No.
Would you do it?
No. You need Gordon at this point.
Well, I'd have to think about
it. Me too.
That.
I mean, and again,
I think I'd do it.
I'm all in on Josh Gordon. I like Josh Gordon here. He's a good story, something to root for. I like the way he's played on the field, everything. I have nothing bad to say about Josh Gordon. But I still have to be honest, an unreliable wide receiver for a franchise left tackle?
Yeah.
Straight up?
I think I would do it. Gordon's unpredictable, and you're getting a guy who is, you know, an anchor. Again, they need a horse on that line. They do. They need a horse, and they don't have one. And you know, as it turned out, you go back the last couple of left tackles. Not that Nate Solder has been playing great. I don't know if you saw what happened to him yesterday, as an aside. But Trent Brown, like, ended up being a horse. You could use a horse on that side of the line.
Trade the picks. Well, how have some of these worked out recently?
They tried. Washington wouldn't take it. You offered a first-round pick, and they wouldn't take it.
Well, that's the other thing, right? The Redskins
throw in more.
Yeah, they don't want Josh Gordon.
I'm not giving up much more than a first-rounder for Trent Williams. They should be able to take that. They should take Trent Williams. What, are you kidding me? Here's Will in Tewksbury. Hi, Will.
Hey, guys. Jets fan. Suffering since 1984.
So it just keeps getting worse. What's unbelievable, Will, is that it gets worse.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. First of all, the owner, whatever. And by the way, calling from Tewksbury, England, Mike.
Sorry.
I just wanted to say that I hate you all of you 20-year-olds and younger. You're so spoiled and so ridiculously spoiled, and I hate you all. And that's it.
So what's unbelievable to me about the Jets in the division is that the teams keep getting farther away. Now the Bills are 3-0. I mean, but if you beat them 52-17 on Sunday, we'll be able to do the same thing to them. It's getting easier on Belichick and Brady. The gap is growing bigger. It's not tightening after all this time. It's not like they're catching up to you. No, it keeps getting bigger. That's what is amazing to me.
There wasn't even any visceral anger in that Jets fan's voice. It was just, that's a beaten man.
No, that's resignation right there.
What was the final score of the Miami game? 43-0?
I forget.
And this, so it's the Patriots on offense have scored 73 points in, you know, in defense because they had the two pick sixes. How can I forget those? 73 points, and their defense has not allowed a point to either one of those teams in the last 2 weeks.
The Jets were 0-for-12 on third down.
Yeah. 5-for-39 opponents for the year. 5-for-39. That's what they are. 12% on third down opponents against the Patriots.
But the AFC East is better than you're giving it credit for.
The story is that it's getting worse. That's the story.
It's astonishing. Again, was there ever really even a moment where you looked at the Jets offense and said, ooh, they're moving?
Second play. First play was like 6 yards to Levin Bell up the middle, and then he completed a ball outside to Crowder for a first down.
And that was it?
That was it.
I don't even remember that.
That was it. First two plays of the game.
Did they get over the 50?
A couple times.
To like the what, the 48?
And not including the muff punt or this pick six. But offensively, I think, I remember once they did. I think. But I let me check because I can't confirm that right now.
The Patriots defense has allowed this year a field goal. That's it.
Meanwhile, and not that it's Antonio, but it's kind of Antonio Brown related. Mr. Happy on national TV on CBS in the pregame. Let's get to that right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stop it.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what was the final straw with Antonio Brown?
Yeah, we're focused on the Jets today.
Thank you, Coach.
Don't pick it up in the audio, but that's just to set it up. Belichick, Dana Jacobson, pregame on CBS. Dana asking him about Antonio Brown and him shooting a death dagger into the back of her skull. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, so you're not even allowed to ask the questions anymore? Not that you ever were. I mean, with Bill, it's, you know, you can't even ask. You're not allowed to ask. No independent thought. I already told you I'm not going to answer it. So good for her for asking the question, and you know, shame on him for continuing to be a freaking two-year-old when it was your first availability after you released the guy, and she asked it in a very tactful manner. In fact, even like deferential, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, right? She was deferential. She went out of her way to say, I don't really want to ask it, but I have to. And he gave her this look like, who the hell do you think you are? Oh, God, would you grow up? Seriously, would you just grow up?
What a baby.
Oh, God, what a freaking two-year-old.
It is a bad look, but I expect nothing less at this point. I mean, this is how he treats every single media member. It's like, how dare you even ask this question? So
that's the one thing I would say. There is consistency. You know, he...
Yeah, male, female, whoever.
Right, see, part of me was going to say, it makes it an extra bad look that he does that to a woman. You just... You shouldn't treat ladies like that. You know, just sort of like the old school mentality. Like,
sure.
How about a little, you know, show some manners there. There's a lady present. Like that sort of thing, that old school thinking. But Bill, it doesn't matter if you're man, woman, black, white, purple with pink polka dots. It doesn't matter. If you cross him or challenge him, you are the scum of the earth. And it doesn't matter what you're. So, like, at least he's consistent like that. I don't know if that's even, you know, in his favor or not. But it just goes, I mean... I don't expect most of you to care who are listening to my voice, but how do you think Robert or the ownership, if they step back and think about it and do put the fact that it is a woman asking about some pretty serious sexual harassment allegations followed by intimidation and harassment of someone who is accused of sexual misconduct, sexual assault, in some cases rape. And now there's a woman asking the question. And the man stares down at her like, who do you think you are?
Yeah, who do you think you are?
Also, a reporter for a league partner who it's airs just, your games.
I mean, that's a rough look, man.
Horrible.
That is a rough, rough look.
Again, he just said, you know, at the end of the day, you know, someone said to me today, you know, someone said, it doesn't change my opinion of Belichick. And I said, well, that's true. It doesn't change mine either because I already thought he was a dink on stuff like that to begin with. But that's the wrong standard. It's just, you've got to be kidding. So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You acquire one of the most troubled and controversial wide receivers players in the league. You bring him in and he does nothing but bring you trouble and controversy. Then you release him after your press availability on Friday and after any media availability on Friday. And the first access anybody has to you, they ask one question in the most, like,
tactful.
Oh, God, really? You know, deferential manner. And I say that as a credit to her because I thought, again, her whole approach was, look, I don't really want to go here. I know you don't either, but I got to ask it because it's my job. And he basically, you know, shoots lasers through her. Would you just come on? Seriously, just come on. Like, what is the, what's the issue here? Well, why can't she ask it and you just say, Yeah, I understand the question, but, you know, we're just getting ready for the Jets today.
Because here is a underappreciated thing about Bill, and I know your first thing is his. Well, you know him better than me, Felger. So
I won't say it.
Maybe this is. But this is just something I've gleaned from him over the years when I covered him closely or even now. There's an insecurity that you wouldn't appreciate is there. And that's what it's born out of. It's him being having to answer for something he might have done wrong. So he gets sensitive, his backup, little insecure, and maybe that's just combined with all the success he's had, and now it's like, so it's like all these swirling different things. But if he were sort of confident or at peace with it, his attitude would be more like, yeah, well, win some, you lose some. We got one wrong. But he just can't bring himself to do that. You know, he's not going to do that, especially to someone who he feels is beneath him in a media member. And that's all born out of, I think, insecurity.
Of course. Yeah. Look, there's, at the end of the day, that's exactly what it comes from. I don't doubt that for a second.
So you got one wrong, Bill.
But you'd like to think, Mike, that someone approaching 70 years old eventually would say, hey, look, I appreciate the question, but we're just getting ready for the Jets.
And it's not just him. I mean, I think other coaches would handle it better. I think Bill's got it bad. But for some reason, there's still this undercurrent of insecurity with so many of these coaches. They have to let you know that was their guy. They, you know, that's my guy. I drafted that guy, so they make sure that they play him. That was my guy. The mistake was the previous guy. I didn't screw that up. He screwed it up. Oh, we practiced that on Friday. We were prepared for that. Letting everyone know that, nope, I actually was onto that. That wasn't the player making the play. I was on it. We practiced that on Friday. Bill's not the only one that does that. And there's this rank insecurity that's my guy, not his guy. That's his guy, not my guy. We practiced that. No. And I don't know, after all he's accomplished, his batting average is whatever, 900? I mean, the guy, he's got the best batting average in the history of the league. Yet the every now and then he gets one wrong. Malcolm Butler, this thing, whatever. There's very few. We can count them on one hand. But he's had some wrong. But his batting average is the best ever. Just don't ask him about the ones he gets wrong, because he still gets his backup about it. He can't just say win some, lose some. Sometimes, you know, you wish you were always right. Sometimes you're not.
It's just so disrespectful, though, to the other person. That's all. And again, you can say, well,
and
you know,
just by the way, I'm not asking him to say those words, but just carry yourself that way.
Right. Exactly. Just shrug it off as a necessary question. And
it's not her fault.
Right.
It's not her fault. You signed the guy. It's not your fault. The thing blew up. That you hitched your wagon to the wrong guy. It happens.
Now, to her credit, she knew he wasn't going to answer it, because you could tell by how quickly she replied. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. Well, we're getting ready for the Jets. Thanks, Coach. Like, there was no pause, no follow-up. She knew. She said, he's not going to answer this, but I'm going to ask him anyway, because it's my job.
And he had to stand there and put her in her place, because he just can't deal with someone challenging him or maybe being wrong on one. 1 out of 10, and he just can't handle it.
Oh, gosh, he comes off as so petty and like a bully. Like, that's how he comes off. It's just a bad look. It's a bad look. It's just you couldn't accept the reality that question was going to come.
Well, just quickly, she was apparently, I guess, okay with it, because she just tweeted a few hours ago, Dana Jacobson, I did my job yesterday, Coach did his, end of story. You know what I didn't like? Rambling through the start of my Ty Law interview. Wish I could do that over. Social media and sports radio.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Social media can continue this discussion. I'm going to go get ready for my wedding on Saturday.
Okay. Ty Law, ixnay with the Ty Law. Ty Law rambles. He'll talk your face off. You can't. And in the middle of that, Tom Brady tried to block somebody on an end around, like, yeah, a really stupid play. There was a need for a little bit of commentary. It's not necessarily hurt. It's just the wrong guy to interview. Ty Law will go and go and go and go and go and go.
Not to mention, I don't know if you guys had the same problem. Maybe I need a sound bar. I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear her. I couldn't hear him. All I could hear was the crowd.
Oh, the Ty
Law
thing.
It was driving me bananas.
He was inducted over a month ago. He's done a zillion interviews. Not necessary. But anyway, there's our thought on Bill and Dana Jacobson. Yours right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Phil Perry? Bill, do you expect to have Antonio available to you on Sunday?
He's on our roster.
Brian Burnett? Bill, another headline today focusing on Antonio Brown. Does any of this at all affect his status with the team?
Yeah, I think I've already addressed this. So we're going to get ready for the Jets here. Happy to answer any football questions, but the rest of it, I'm done with the rest of it.
Jerry. But is there ever a point where some off-field stuff is enough is enough? Too much?
Yeah.
I'm
good. Okay. Thank you. Well, yeah, we had another question.
I said a non-Antonio Brown.
You're just not allowed to question, Bill. You're just not. I wonder if it extends internally.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Well, go ahead.
Look, is he like that with his staff?
I mean, the whole storyline is all the guys have been saying, Bill wants to be challenged. I don't believe that. I don't think he cares to be challenged. I don't. I mean, if he handles himself like that out front, there's not even a hint of it. I just get the sense, and you know what? In the football sense, it's fine. I want him making all the calls. I trust him more than anyone else on that staff. But it's just sort of interesting how it gets portrayed that he wants to be challenged and he wants, please.
Okay, but you want him making those calls to a point. Because, I don't know, would it have been nice if someone spoke up about Malcolm Butler being on the sideline in the Super Bowl against the Eagles?
I guess.
So there are, you know, and again, I go back to that documentary on Belichick that was on the NFL Network, The Football Life, where... You know, he sits there, and I think we played the cut. This was obviously years ago, where he's sitting in the room, and he looks at the assistants and says, anybody have anything? And nobody says anything? Okay, let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and you look at it and go, well, what was the point of that? I mean, if you're not encouraging the back and forth, like, you know, then ultimately, sooner or later, you will miss something, or you'll be so close to it that you're not seeing it right.
So my guess is Bill would have kept him. I know Brady would have kept him. I think the football department was all in. And Mike Giardi reported something like this over the weekend, that from a football standpoint, that Antonio Brown was working hard to learn the offense. He was working late and staying late. I guess he was working with Troy Brown. Troy Brown was his handler. You know, too bad Troy couldn't go home with him and yank the phone out of his hands. You know, but again, I don't know if Troy realized he was dealing with a 3-year-old in Antonio Brown. But, football-wise, he was working hard. He was trying. And the football department was fine with him. This was not a football move. This was an ownership PR move. In fact, Bill was confident he'd get him to conform. Remember the whole conference call exchange with Curran?
Hey, Bill, Tom. What makes you confident that Antonio Brown won't be as disruptive here as he was with Oakland or Pittsburgh? And was it difficult for you to reconcile what he was coming off last week in Oakland with bringing him aboard?
Well, I wasn't in either one of those places, so I really can't comment on what did or didn't happen there.
Well, it's pretty well documented in both places that he was pretty disruptive. What makes you confident that he won't be that way here?
That's the same thing you said about Randy Moss when we brought him in. So.
Me?
Collectively.
Oh.
Randy Moss. I said it at the time. I wouldn't use that as an example. The Randy Moss example. But, I mean, compared to this guy, Randy Moss was freaking, you know, model citizen, Boy Scout.
Yeah. Oh, no, he was totally in line.
Mr. Patriot compared to this guy. But, so Bill got one wrong. It happens. He thought he'd get Antonio Brown to come in and buy in and keep his nose clean like Randy Moss or Corey Dillon or one of these guys, at least long enough to get at least a year out of him. And he didn't get 2 weeks out of him. So he pitched his wagon to the wrong guy. He got one wrong. It happens. It's not Janet Jacobson's fault. It's not Kern's fault. It's not Byron Barnett's fault. It's not our fault. It's not anyone's fault. It's your fault, Bill, but I mean, you get a total pass because you're usually so, you know, your batting average is through the roof. So can you deal?
So, but you realize, though, that in his mind, he doesn't even think he got it wrong.
No, and if it were up to him, I think he'd still be here. So anyway, that's that. Back to your thoughts on everything Patriots related. John in New Hampshire, you're up next with Felger and Mass. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. I don't know if I'm in the minority, but I don't think yesterday's game was good. After the first quarter, the score was pretty much tied. We really couldn't move the ball. And the running game was, what, 68 yards? Pathetic. I'm very worried about injuries, and I'm very worried about this week being a trap game. It's not going to be a blowout in Buffalo.
Okay, John, this is definitely not a trap game. The trap game would have been yesterday with, you know, and again, work with me here, the quote-unquote undefeated Bills waiting for you next week in Buffalo. This is the week you would overlook because you were looking for Buffalo. I happen to think that it's all one big bucket of crap. And yeah, the Bills just happen to be 3-0 versus 0-3, but they could easily be 0-3. But again,
I can't believe you just uttered those words.
Work with me.
Yeah.
Work with me. Neither of them are a trap. The Bills are 3-0, so they might have been a trap if they were 0-3, but they're 3-0. This is an easy one. This is for the division. You're facing another undefeated team. So this is not a trap week, which makes it all the more likely you're going to blow the crap out of them.
Yeah, no. There is no, you know, they're not going to overlook this one now, given because Bill has the math in his favor on top of it to just point to the standings, and that's the end of it. But since the caller brought it up, they did get outscored in the second half yesterday, 14-10.
So hard to tell.
Just saying.
So hard to tell. They called off the dogs, and not that they had to bring any dogs to the first place. They score on their first three drives, no resistance. It's whole thing is garbage time. I have a hard time.
They lost interest.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not drawing any conclusions on like the results or the scoreboard or things like that. Just because in these cases, I just think these games are such non-factors. They're glorified exhibitions. I think, you know, facets of the team and the game you can start to sink your teeth into. The running game has not been good in three straight weeks.
They didn't run the ball well in the early part of the game yesterday.
So this is what, you know, that it really hasn't been good outside of a, you know, a few Rex Burkhead runs this season. The running game has not been effective. So is that starting to be a concern with the injuries on the offensive line and maybe Sony Michel not having a good sophomore year or whatever? Like, I think that's starting to build, and you can ask that question.
Yeah, to me, again, on that specific point, it's about the line. Because I think the ability to run the ball all stems from the offensive line's ability to block. So you add in the fact that they don't have a left tackle. Gronk is gone. You know, they without Cannon, at least for part of the year. He's back out there yesterday. They've lost their center. Like, all of that. You know, to me, that line's not getting any. There are no holes there. They have nowhere to go.
We've got Matt in Danvers. What are your thoughts on the Patriots?
Yeah, I keep watching all these rookie wide receivers go off, like Hollywood Brown and DK Metcalf. And our nice first-round receiver went out in the first preseason game. And now, all of a sudden, he's on the injured reserve till what, week 9?
Yep.
What happened?
So, he's either hurt or they're. I've heard Zoe sort of mention this, like, I don't know, is he learning sort of NFL toughness, battle through injury? You can play hurt but not injured, that sort of thing with N'Keal Harry? Like, there might be a little bit of that as well. What's amazing, there's a lot of amazing things, but how the Patriots continue to get better than everybody else and the top of their drafts are still, like, non-factors.
Really?
I mean,
second year in a row where they're
the first two picks last year, Wynn and Michelle, have been non-factors for you this year. Now your first round pick this year is a non-factor for you, and the gap isn't closing, it's getting bigger. So, like, that's just another one of these amazing things about the Patriots is that
it's a crazy anomaly is what it is.
They haven't needed the draft. I mean, it's got to catch up to them at some point, does it? I mean, I don't know, does it? But it's like, you're not getting anything out of those first-round picks the last couple of years.
And the year before, they didn't have a first or a second, right?
I can't even remember now that you're saying it.
That was the year they traded for Brandon Cooks.
So what can I tell you? And the gap isn't closing. It's getting bigger. You continue to get better than the teams in your division, not worse.
Yeah, Fel gets the key. Belichick's smarter than everybody else. He knows the draft's useless.
We'll reset our game thoughts and team thoughts after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.